This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Great big Sweet Valley hi to you, Tanner.
Hi.
Great big book we read this week.
Good great big book we read.
Yep.
It was a Sweet Valley High book. Guess what? Still on it.
Yeah, I should say who we are. We're the Sweet Sweet of Valley Boys.
Boys.
And this is a podcast where we talk about the Sweet Valley High books until hi. We stop. And I'm Sweet Valley Jack.
My name is Tanner.
And this week we read a fascinating little novel called Sweet Valley High Number 6, Dangerous Love.
A love between a man and his motorcycle. Feeling that hot steel between his thighs.
Yeah. I loved this one.
You loved it. I thought it was pretty dark.
It was fun. It was dangerous.
Ends on a pretty scary cliffhanger.
They kill one of the twins. Yeah.
One of the twins, as far as I'm concerned, they've revealed.
Yeah.
One of the twins is fully dead.
Yeah. And that's why this series is not called Sweet Valley Twins. Because Francine knew that if she just continued calling this Sweet Valley Twins, it would set up false expectations. Because it's just a Sweet Valley twin after Dangerous Love. There's only one Sweet Valley twin at Sweet Valley High following this book.
I don't know if you would technically keep calling that person a twin.
I think... Oh, okay. A singleton. It should be called Sweet Valley Singleton.
Sweet Valley Singleton.
Sweet Valley only child.
Are we all singletons?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those of us who are not twins are singletons, surely.
Wow.
Doesn't that make you feel a little bit more special now?
Almost the opposite. Now it makes me feel like twins are the special ones. I guess that's always been true, but I've never had it thrown in my face like that before.
Yeah.
You know, like singleton just makes it, like, it snaps it into such clarity.
I'm a singleton. Yeah.
I have siblings.
And then Jessica can be like, I used to be a twin, but now I'm a singleton.
My sister died in a motorcycle accident.
She dies in a motorcycle accident. We're really putting the cart before the horse here. We should describe this book twice, I think.
I don't think there were any horses. I think it was a motorcycle.
Okay. It's a metaphor.
And a van. Crunch's van.
Yeah, there's a purple van. Crunch a McAllister.
God, I saw in my mind's eye when I thought of Crunch McAllister, I just saw Tanner Greenring. Loves drinking beer.
Yeah, he loves to pound brewskis.
Loves partying. Drives a van, which I did for some time.
Yeah,
like a big conversion van.
Yeah.
So yeah, there. But for the grace of God, go I.
Yeah.
Crunch McAllister.
I was thinking. I did a little special treat, and I have got a description of this book prepared, and then I was going to do that, was my thought, and then I could put 60 seconds on a big bad clock and have you describe it. What do you think about that?
Fine.
Good?
I guess.
Okay. I'll request your silence.
Was I speaking?
No, but you have a tendency to when I'm trying to do my description. I'd rather, so I've requested you not.
Hey, Jack, your request is noted.
Okay.
And I cannot comment one way or the other whether or not I will respect it.
Okay, that seems fine. That's the best I can get, I think. Why don't I describe this novel, then we'll have you do it.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
Okay. This is a sad one. Todd Wilkins has a great big hog, and everyone wants to ride on it.
Excuse me?
Mandy Farmer wants to ride on Todd Wilkins' big hog. Weenie Rollins wants to go for a big ride on Todd Wilkins' huge hog. Crunch McAllister wants to wrap his legs around the huge Todd Wilkins hog and have a very big hog ride. It really seems like everyone's taking a monster ride on this great big steaming hog that Todd Wilkins has. Everyone, that is. Except his girlfriend, Liz. But when Liz changes her mind and decides to have the ride of her life, she gets more than she bargained for. She does a great big ride, all right. But it's an ambulance ride. Sweet Valley High, number 6. Dangerous Love.
Good. You talked about hogs a lot.
Well, I mean, this is what the book is about, right? Todd gets a great big hog, 500 pounds of steel.
Todd has a huge hog.
Yeah.
Liz is afraid of riding it.
And all the girls in school and Crunch McAllister.
Stony Brook and Crunch McAllister are very into Todd's hog.
Yeah, and they all want to go on a big ride. Yeah.
They want to go on big rides on Todd's hog.
Yeah.
No, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
I was going I wanted to sort of note that you said hog a lot, but you're right. It's that they do.
That's really what the novel is about.
Thesis.
Yeah. What about we put 60 seconds on the Big Bad Clock and have you describe it?
You just did.
I know, but I literally explained this to you. We're doing it twice, just like we used to. Remember in old days? You want 60 seconds and say what happens.
I don't give a shit.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. In 3, 2, 1, go.
Continuing from last week. Todd Wilkins has a new motorcycle, a Yamaha. He's not a boat. He's a man with a motorcycle. It's a Yamaha. He is excited about Elizabeth riding it. He even buys her a hot pink helmet. But Elizabeth and Jessica's cousin, Rexy, died on his 16th birthday in a motorcycle wreck. So they don't like motorcycles and none of the... what's their last name?
Huge mistake.
Wakefield
to get hung up on this. Yep.
Family likes motorcycles. Todd tries to convince the Wakefield parents that it's okay. They say no. He said, okay, I vow that your daughter will never be on my motorcycle. They go and he gives rides to other girls at school, which makes Liz wildly jealous. But then Todd realizes that he's jealous when Liz gets a ride from one of the guys from the droids. Then they realize that it's silly, and then Todd decides to sell his bike. But before he does, they want to go on one last ride to this party. And they get in a crash, and Elizabeth dies.
End time. Yeah. Well, we should say... She hasn't technically died, but she's more machine than man.
More machine than man. Yeah, the book ends on a cliffhanger. Liz is in a coma.
Yeah,
from the head wound that she sustained. Todd promised Ned and Alice Wakefield that he would never allow Liz's sweet thighs to
wrap themselves around
his hardy, glorious hog.
Yeah.
He respects that, and he actually says, "I'm going to sell."
He's really cool about it. I kind of came around on Todd a little bit this week.
It just makes me, you know, what makes me so anxious is fucking Marissa Flaxbart.
Yeah,
spoiled that apparently Liz and Todd break up at some point.
Yeah, thanks Marissa. Thanks for that.
It's probably because of this dang coma that he put her in.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Someone put me in a coma, I'd be pretty pissed.
They have the Wakefields parents are like super fucking furious with Todd because Elizabeth is more machine than man now. And they're like, don't even fucking talk to us anymore. And eventually Jessica does an intervention and is like, this really isn't Todd's fault. And they end up being like, yeah, we've come around, like, you're just like a weenie pushover, and there's literally no way that you would have been able to say no
Our daughter Elizabeth. Is so strong-willed, and you're such a weenie pushover that, like, we understand.
Like, so it isn't your fault. Like, there's, like, now that we understand that you had Liz really wanted to ride the bike, like, her, like, passing desire to ride a bike is stronger than, like, any commitment you could possibly make to yourself, so it's definitely not your fault. You weenie pushover.
Yeah. So they come around, except Steve, who still wants to kick Todd's ass.
Yeah.
Steve comes back to
I got the passage. What are you doing here? Steve shouted. I never want to see you again for as long as I live. It was an accident, Steve. And it was all your fault. My God, Steve, I love Liz. Do you think I wanted this to happen? Todd cried. I don't know what to think. I mean, how am I supposed to feel when the doctors tell us how lucky Liz is to be alive, as if they call being hooked up to all those machines living?
Yeah. Wow.
So Steve is on some shit.
Steve is like an anti, like, transhumanist, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he is not into the biotechnical.
Like, no, he doesn't like, well, she's an android now. And, you know, Steve knows what happens when you're more machine than man.
Right.
The dark side, right?
I have to go look something up. So, vamp for me.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say that this is a lot that has a lot of parallels with Star Wars
Warhammer
Episode
40K
3
and the Techno
Revenge
Priest.
Of the Sith.
What are you saying?
The Star Wars movies when the angry boy falls in the lava lake and his legs and arms burn off.
Do you mean the tech priests from 40K?
And he's like, you're not my dad.
The Adeptus Mechanus?
No, I guess not. But you know what? Let's go with your thing.
Yeah, the tech priests. They're the Martians. They live on Mars. They're the part of the Imperium of Man. They're the cult Mechanicus.
Okay.
They've augmented their body with... So you know in 40K, right, that there's no AI or robots allowed because of like a machine uprising in the past.
Okay. Seems smart.
So there's no intelligent machines allowed.
Okay.
But the Adeptus Mechanicus has sort of found a way around that.
Skirted the rules a little bit.
Augmenting their own flesh and blood with machines. So it's still them in there.
Okay.
It's men and women.
Yeah.
But their bodies are full of little gizmos.
Okay. And that's what is happening with Elizabeth. So yes, you're right. I'll allow it. It's a great way into this novel.
Yeah.
This is reading about the Adeptus Mechanicus.
Here. I think this is helpful.
Okay, Tanner sent me a
this is helpful media for you to understand.
Perfect.
Like,
that's great. Thank you
Adeptus
for that.
Adeptus Mechanicus.
That's awesome. I love it when you send me something over text that's... Oh, wow. Fuck. Okay, so it's like a big claw, like big robot priest, kind of.
Yeah. Except he's not a robot, I will remind you. There's a man in there.
Yeah, there's a man in there, but he's got a bunch of heads. Yeah, and this is what I think probably... Hodges didn't do a great job of depicting this on the cover of this novel.
No, yeah.
But just Google Adeptus Mechanicus.
I would, and I hate to... You know, I love to credit artists.
Mm-hmm.
That's like one of my passions, is giving artists lots of credit.
Yeah.
Are we sure it's Hodges?
Marissa told us.
The cover art sucks.
No, we can't say that.
Elizabeth looks like shit.
No.
Todd looks handsome.
She was in a terrible accident.
Is this post-accident? Because it looks like it.
I assume so, yeah.
She's gripping onto Todd as though she's riding on the back of a motorcycle, and his hands are postured as though he's steering a motorcycle, but it's the middle of the day, and we know that the motorcycle incident happened post-midnight.
Yeah.
It was like 12:30 at night, so maybe this is like a dream sequence?
James L. Matthew Hughes.
Excuse me?
That's who did it.
It's Matthew Hughes?
It's someone called James L. Matthew Hughes.
What is that? Say the last name one more time.
James L. Matthew Hughes.
James L. Matthew Hughes.
Matthew Hughes.
God, he looks just like Hodges.
He takes commissions, according to this article I've clicked on.
Okay, we should commission him.
Yeah, he's got a website called jimmyart.com.
He can probably do a better podcast cover art than I photoshopped.
Yeah, he's awesome. I can't believe you talk shit about his cover for this novel. So apologies to Hodges. Maybe this is Hodges, right?
This is hot. Like, that's my point, is like,
yeah, this is Hodges.
How many middle-aged white dudes can there be drawing pictures for young adult girls novels in the 80s? Like,
yeah, it's
just Hodges. Like, he's come up with a new name for himself.
His site isn't Comic Sans.
His site isn't Comic Sans. He's got someone. Apparently, Sue Austin has done his. Oh yes, and I just went to Sue Austin's website. She's a zip line enthusiast. She loves her Mitsubishi. My mighty Mitsubishi Outlander accompanied me on both my trips. 2012, driving to 48 states, 15,000 miles. 2013, 27 states, 20,000 miles.
Who is this?
109 zip lines she went to.
Who is this?
Sue Austin.
Who is that?
Pay attention. She designed James Matthews.
Okay, we're too many
website,
steps.
And she's a zipline enthusiast, and she loves her Mitsubishi Outlander.
Okay, I want to reel you in here.
She's ziplined as of November 6th.
No,
Jack.
No.
Jack, listen to me. As of November 6th, 2013, she has ziplined 115 times.
Your instincts about what's interesting are not always 100% on point. Can I say that? Is that a constructive criticism that I can level at you?
No, no. It's constructive. It's not fair.
Okay. You want to call in the joke doctors?
Yeah, please.
Let's call in the joke doctors and let's just bring them in. Let's bring the joke doctors in.
She's bleeding out on the table. I've never seen a coma this bad. We need the joke doctors in our stat.
The doctor will see you now.
Last week we had the joke doctors in and they punched up some jokes and they did a great job. They did such a good job that this is actually a spinoff show. Like, we already have a joke doctors spinoff. This is like joke doctors is the CSI.
Yeah.
This is joke doctors pickup line workshop.
Oh, okay. It's like special victims unit. Joke doctors is like Law and Order. Joke doctors.
Pickup line workshop.
Pickup line workshop is like Law and Order CSI. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we've got two big pickup lines and both of them suck ass. And so we can just do a little punch up and fix this for Francine. And I think she's going to really appreciate it. Here's the first. The guy from I was like really taken by surprise by this. Like Liz was having this like convo with the guy or Guy. I don't know if it's maybe it's Guy.
It's probably Guy from
the droids.
Right.
And it seemed like he was being really nice. He was like being like really understanding. And then it just like took this weird turn. So like the whole premise of this novel is that like Elizabeth is just like so hung up on the fact that she doesn't want to ride this bike.
Yeah.
And it really causes more problems than you could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
Guy, should we say, are we going to go with Guy?
I think Guy.
Yeah. Guy picked up on her uneasiness. Doesn't sound like you're too happy about it. Elizabeth sat straight. It's nothing I can't handle, Guy. Well.
Guy.
Sorry. It's nothing I can't handle, Guy.
Unless she's just saying, like, she's being sort of, like, condescending. She's like, Guy. Sorry, I couldn't even remember your name. And he's like, well, you're in luck because my name is actually Guy.
Well, I just want to let you know that anytime you need a ride, just say the word and I'll be there. Guy let his arm slip a little, just enough so that it now rested on Elizabeth's shoulder. She moved away. That's sweet of you, she said, watching the scenery rush past her. Stretching his arm as far as he could, Guy edged her back towards his side. A closed car can be a lot more fun than a motorcycle.
Hmm.
He hinted. Elizabeth turned to face him. The signal he was sending was quite obvious to her. Thanks, but no thanks, Guy, she said, moving as close to the door as she could.
I understand the signal now.
Yeah, a closed...
Hotboxing. You can't hotbox a motorcycle, right?
You can't hotbox a motorcycle, and maybe that's the
answer. You can hotbox a closed car.
You can't hotbox a motorcycle, babe. That's pretty good, actually.
That is good. The first time I ever got stoned on drugs, it was hotboxing in a car. And
that's not cool, man. I know you think that sounds cool, but it's not.
Roommates.
Yeah.
And I got so unbelievably paranoid that a cop was going to drive up behind us and pull us over that like it really ruined the evening for me.
That sounds right.
And then, yeah, that was my first experience. Just like devastating paranoia.
Not cool, man.
Not cool.
Let's try to stay focused here. So can we help Guy a little bit? Or do you think that's as good as it's going to get? A close car can be a lot more fun than a motorcycle.
It's what I hesitate. Okay, so that's a pickup line. You think that's a pickup line? Jesus.
I think the closedness
You're
of the
so
car.
So lucky you ended up with Sarah.
I think it's a bad pickup line.
If you think that's a pickup line. I'm not much of a... I don't quite know the right term for it. Sex master, I guess.
Sex master is the right word.
I'm not good at pickup lines. And I don't know if I have what it takes to get Guy across the finish line here. But I think we can probably work on it. Let's see. I'm trying to say in a sexy way that my station wagon...
What if we close the doors of the station wagon? Here, what about this? The thing that you would say if you were just coming out with it is, hey, you can't actually won't have that much fun making out with Todd on his motorcycle because you'd fall off and people would see you. Whereas in my station wagon, you're unlikely to fall off because the doors are closed.
I searched car pickup lines. Okay. If you were a car door, I would slam you all night. And that's something you can't do with a motorcycle because they don't have doors.
If you were a car door. It, like, for some reason, the metaphor is not working for me. And I'm just imagining a dude who, like, what he likes is to, like, slam the fuck out of car doors.
That would drive me insane if he was
and he's
my
like,
neighbor.
Damn, I wish you were a car door so I can fucking...
Yeah. Listen to this pickup line.
Okay.
Listen to this car-themed pickup line that I found on this website.
Perfect.
Guy, colon. So this might be him.
I would say Guy.
Guy, colon.
Yeah.
I'm listening to car talk on the radio. Would you like to join me? And...
That's the pickup line?
That's the pickup line. So now I'm thinking... Maybe this website needs the joke doctors to come in.
What about this? What about this? I'm listening to car talk on the radio. Would you like to fuck me?
To the sounds of car talk? Click and clack?
I mean, that's as a pickup line, it's better.
Yeah.
Like, I only changed one word, but it, like, certainly makes the intention a lot clearer. Like, it's very unclear.
God, I can do this. I can do this.
Yeah.
Sure, the feeling of a thick hog between your thighs is great, but hard to come back from that line.
Yeah, no, that's because you've really kind of made the motorcycle thing sound good.
I was hoping I could make a station wagon sound even better.
There's no flagging in this wagon.
Dragging his wagon, maybe? Like he's got a thick butt?
Yeah.
Hey, Todd's hog is nice, but check out this wagon I'm dragging.
I think that's it.
And I think what he's saying is like, sure, you might think you prefer big penises.
Yeah.
But have you ever tried dating a guy with
a big butt? Yeah. And I think that's it. That's perfect.
And TBD on the penis. You know?
The only other pickup line I have is maybe perfect. They go so Weenie Rollins is having a big party and nothing happens really.
Oh, so Weenie Rollins is having a big party and her mom's like going nuts over it. Like she wants her to like she's going all out. She's spending. It's become very lavish, and extravagant.
Jess tricks Weenie into setting her up with her hot cousin Brian. They go together. Isn't it beautiful? Elizabeth exclaimed. They've gone a little bit overboard on the flowers. Jessica chided. My aunt loves flowers. Brian noted. Looks fine to me. But they are pretty, Jessica quickly added, not wanting to get off on the wrong foot with a guy she considered a monument to male perfection. Not as pretty as you, Brian whispered.
You make it sound creepy.
It is creepy.
God, you're lucky you met Sarah. Not as pretty as you.
Is there something we can do to fix that?
So Jess says, I love flowers. Or those flowers are so pretty, right?
Yeah, they are pretty.
Here's what I would say if I were Brian. They'd look even better on my bedroom floor.
There it is. Right? There it is. Yeah, there it is. And can we just go back and do that for the station wagon too?
Yes. What was the station wagon line?
A closed car can be a lot more fun than a motorcycle.
Yeah. Hey, you look pretty good in this closed car.
Yeah. No.
You look even better on my bedroom floor.
Todd's motorcycle's great and all, but it would look even better on my bedroom floor.
Yeah, how do you even get in there? You know?
Okay, that's good.
That's good.
A brief other thing I'd like to mention about the motorcycle situation before we take a quick break.
Okay.
I'll just read you this passage. Motorcycles were nothing but death machines as far as Jessica was concerned, and she would have been perfectly happy if every single one were banned from the universe.
That's like Thanos shit.
No, that's what Francine is saying, is that it's canon that there are motorcycles on other planets in the Valleyverse.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, wow. What a rich, like, it's I think this is like, I think this is soft world building. I'm not totally sure I know the difference between hard world building and soft world building, but I think this is soft world building where it's like, you know, someone like Brandon Sanderson will come in, they'll establish all the rules, and then they'll like stick to the rules. But then you got someone like Miyazaki who comes in and he's like, he doesn't tell you any of the rules. You sort of have to infer the rules.
Yeah, totally.
From the sort of like characters and the world and like the story, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's happening here is like Francine will never come out and say, yes, there are motorcycles in other worlds.
Right.
And like everything that that implies, you know, but she's sort of like she gets you. She helps you get there.
She puts it in there so you know it. And they're called death machines on other worlds too, which is awesome.
Yeah. And they're death machines. That's cool. It's like the Star Wars universe, they call cigarettes death sticks.
Oh yeah, that sucks that actually, and that sucks, and it's like it's a perfect microcosm of why those movies suck.
Yeah, I think that was in the second one.
Yeah, it's the diner Attack guy.
Of clones.
Yeah.
No, it's not Dex. Jeff
it's Star. The isn't it?
No, it's like a scrubby like wiener dude at a nightclub.
I hate it. It's so much. If anybody could have just spoken to George Lucas at the time and told him it was bad, you know, think how many lives could have been saved.
I love it.
I'll say one last thing about motorbikes before we take a break.
Yeah,
since I've got a few little, it's, this book is really really moto heavy. Fatal. Elizabeth cringed at the word. Ever since Rexy's death, the words fatal and motorcycle were synonymous to her. And I just think that must probably cause a lot of confusion.
Creates a lot of issues, right. I mean, she's also like, she's a reporter.
Yeah.
Like, she probably has to write the word fatal, like, pretty off. And also, you know, the kids in Sweet Valley are, like, pretty danger addicted.
Yeah, no, totally.
You know, so she probably has to use the word fatal a lot, and, like, it gets a little confusing when she's like...
No, I'm sure.
Every time she submits an article, her editor's like... Hey, you wrote motorcycle over and over again.
Yeah, Weenie Rollins is going to come up to her and be like, hey, Liz, I'm thinking about going back to my like old ways and like doing bennies and joyriding. And Liz is just like, that could be pretty motorcycle.
Man, I'm still pretty hung up on motorcycles on other planets. Death machines.
Yeah, no, it's something that Francine really teased and then didn't
do
anything
with. That's
soft
world building, though. It leaves you with more questions than answers, and that's intriguing. You know, you just like, you want to like explore this universe.
Yeah.
Have you seen the 90s cartoon Biker Mike's Bike? I'm getting worked up. I'm getting excited. Have you seen the 90s cartoon Biker Mice from Mars?
I have not.
Okay, it was a blatant Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ripoff, and it was about mutant mice who were bikers, and they were from Mars.
That's awesome.
I think maybe that is... So,
God. Okay, just like take a deep breath.
Confirmed that Biker Mice from Mars and Sweet Valley High share
the same
narrative universe. Yeah.
Oh, so cool. I'm starting to see how fucking cool these books are. Do you want to take a break?
Yeah, please. I need to pee so badly.
Okay. Let's do that.
Okay.
Goodbye.
See you in a minute. Bye.
Hey, everybody. It's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We were talking during the break, Tanner, and you seemed, wow, boy, howdy. You seemed really excited about this note that you've got. You said, wow, I've got a note, and I'm going to say it after the break. No?
No, almost the exact opposite. You said, should we do a review of the book? And I said, I guess let's wait to see like how many notes we can get through.
Okay.
And I said, I've only got four notes. I don't have.
And then you kind of woundedly said, I haven't had a chance to get to any of them yet.
Well,
so I wanted to give
I honestly didn't intend it to sound wounded.
Yeah.
They're not strong notes, but I guess I can do one. It's my compliment of the week.
Okay.
Jessica turned the rear view mirror to her side and checked her makeup. She had run late this morning and had dashed out of the Wakefield split level house without performing her usual ritual before the bathroom mirror. Not that she needed it. Tan, blonde, with a model-sized waist and a clear, satin-smooth complexion, both she and her identical twin were among the best-looking students at Sweet Valley High. And that's a self-compliment of the week. That's that was from the POV of Liz, who was driving Jess to school.
That's what's called free indirect speech.
Yeah.
It's the best
way to compliment yourself.
Yeah.
If you're ever looking to compliment yourself, use free indirect speech.
Yeah.
Liz had to borrow the Fiat.
Yeah.
This week because for some reason she's like afraid of telling Todd that she's not into motorcycles.
He's so into
it. For like the first half of the book.
Yeah. He's so
into
it.
So she invents all these like excuses not to ride his motorcycle, including borrowing their parents' Fiat to drive to school.
And then she, part of her excuse is that she's like, oh, she can't ride with Todd because they've got to go to the opening of, how do you say this? I'm reading it as Diarrhea Burger.
Yeah, Diarrhea Burger is, it's such an interesting name.
Yeah.
If you phonetically pronounce it,
yeah,
it's pretty close to diarrhea.
I looked it up. It's only
it's at
in
least
Sweet
diary.
Valley. I wrote down diarrhea burger into Google, and it came up only Sweet Valley hits. So this is this is IP that Francine has come up with. I think she was like, so it's D-A-I-R-I.
Diary.
And I think Francine, what Francine realized is if she wanted to have like have this to herself. She needed to come up with something that no one else was going to be brave enough to put on their burger restaurant.
Oh,
name.
Oh, oh. You thought this was her like circumventing IP.
This freely. Is she's like, I'm not even going to file for copyright. Like, I know that I'm the only person who has the stones to call a burger place Diarrhea Burger.
Diarrhea Burger. And like, go ahead and steal it.
Yeah. And they're like selling t-shirts.
It's like when they put fake towns on like a map.
Yeah.
Just to see if like other map companies will then like steal it and put their fake town on their map. It's like, go ahead, name your burger place Diarrhea Burger. See what happens. And I'll tell you what happened. My fucking lawyers are going to come at
me. Yeah, but so they go to Diarrhea Burger, and this is what I wanted to talk to you about is the fucking journey that this book takes us on via the hot clam special.
Oh, the hot clam special is part of another segment for me. So if that's what you want to talk about, we should introduce the other segment.
Sure, I want to talk about the hot clam special. Where we talk about our burns of the week, and I guess you found a burn of the week. Well, is it on the hot clam special? So like Diarrhea Burger, like they're these two brothers who like own it, and it's like the cool, it's like the Bronze in Buffy or the Peach Pit in 90210. Diarrhea Burger is like where everyone's
Saved by the Bell.
No, I think the Peach Pit is 90210.
Oh, what was it called in Saved by the Bell? I thought it was the Peach Pit.
No, I mean, what? There's crossover characters. It's Saved by the Bell universe. Okay, great.
Diner.
Perfect. Yep.
It's called
Diarrhea Burger?
The Max.
Okay.
The Max. Then that sound you heard, Jack, while I was Googling was the sound of 10,000 baby bees
shouting the Max.
Screaming the Max at their iPhones. Yeah, the Max. So the Diarrhea Burger is that.
Yeah,
but they've recently relaunched and rebranded.
Yeah, the Doherty Brothers.
And I think they. You know what I think is Kitchen Nightmares came.
Okay. Yeah.
Like Gordon Ramsay came and he was like, "I'm gonna fix this place up and I'm gonna make it good for you." And
is that what he says?
I think so. I've never really watched it.
Yeah, I think he's more angry than that.
I'm going to fix this price up for you, and I'm going to make it nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's good.
I'm going to make it really fucking nice.
I'm going to buy you new chairs.
You're not going to like it.
Your menu's too big. I think that's his big thing. He's like, menus are too, they're too big.
Make your menu smaller.
Yeah. One dish.
And why is it called Diarrhea Burger, you clam fucking special. Idiot?
You said one thing now, it's clam special.
It's all clam special. We've never seen Gordon Ramsay, so, you know.
Yeah.
Folks, don't, it's not even an impression.
It's an uninformed approximation. So.
I don't even know what he sounds
like.
Yeah, so
she goes to this place and she orders the hot clam special because she's like, you know, she's pretty titillated by it. She's like,
Francine makes a real meal out of the hot clam special. It's a fucking journey.
she tries it. Liz tries it, and she's like, "This sucks. This is the worst." But then, for some reason,
she keeps having back. It.
They both discovered this thing about whales. Todd said, adding, "I'm sure going to be glad when this project we're working on is over." Okay, so that's a whole other thing.
He's talking about Mandy Farmer.
Yeah,
Mandy Farmer and Winston Egbert are dating now, and they both have connected over a Save the Whales thing.
Yeah.
Or it could be a John McAfee stuff.
Oh, because he, like, fucked whales, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what he tweeted. The most exhilarating thing in the world is when you fuck a whale.
I mean, what is there to discover about whales in, like, 1984 other than what John McAfee discovered? Like, at this point, you know everything there is to know about whales.
I don't know much about them.
I know, but
literally,
like,
literally one of the few things I know about whales. Yeah. Apparently, very good to fuck, which I learned from John McAfee. Rest in peace.
May he rest in peace. Yeah.
they both discovered they have this thing about whales, Todd said, adding, I'm sure going to be glad when this project we're working on is over. Having to watch the way those two act when they're together is beginning to get to me. So is this clam special, Elizabeth smiled and tossed her fork down on her plate in playful disgust. This is literally the third time.
She keeps having it.
She's ordered the clam special.
Okay, let me take you and the sweeties on a hot clam special.
Stop
journey.
Ordering this clam special, Elizabeth.
It's quite a journey. So here's how it starts. In deference to the opening, Elizabeth decided to forego her favorite chili dog and try the new special. It looked good, she thought, as she put the first forkful into her mouth. But the concoction of clams and a mysterious batter was as heavy as a lead bullet. The Dohertys needed to work on it more, she concluded, jotting down her impressions of the dish as she washed away its slightly bitter taste with her root beer. What
There's
the
just nothing
fuck?
Good about it. It's heavy, it's unpleasant, it's bitter.
It's bitter?
Bitter okay. is like, bitter is such a hard, like, flavor profile to even get to. How do you get to bitter?
And heavy? And like a mysterious batter? And so 10 minutes after this scene, the following thing happens. Mandy was handing Todd her helmet as John Dougherty, one of the Diarrhea Burger's owners, came up to him. I could have ended up with a lawsuit on my hands if it hadn't been for you. Come on in, he said, smiling. This is because Todd and Crunch... Todd resolved an altercation between Crunch and some bro.
Oh, Danny. Yeah.
In the parking lot. Come on in, he said, smiling. To show my appreciation, I'm going to give you and your girlfriend a free hot clam special.
They're just pushing these hot clam Liz, specials.
Liz comes back in and then eats another hot clam special.
And even Todd is like, didn't that taste like shit the first time? She's like, yeah, maybe it's better. It's like,
I wanted to give it another
It's been a day. It's
no,
been
no.
one day.
That's the third time she eats it.
How do you think it's improved in one day, Liz? It's not like they got new clams in or something, you know?
What was that all about? Todd grumbled as the two of them went inside. This is like the next day and approached the counter. Nothing, Elizabeth said before ordering the hot clam special and a root beer. Why are you ordering
is
that?
This a
he
euphemism?
Whispered.
Like, what am I missing? Is that how you get like cocaine at Diarrhea Burger?
But it's also like hot clam special that sounds awful.
That sounds if I'm at Diarrhea Burger and I'm looking at the big menu full of stuff, hot clam special is bottom of the list on stuff I'm gonna order. Like, I'm gonna go burger first, right?
Yeah, you want to have the diarrhea burger.
You
like, that's what
the
place is called, you know.
Oh god, I don't know why she keeps ordering this hot clam special. So gross. And she's disappointed every time she eats it too. And it's like, well, that's full, you know, in the words of George W. Bush,
yeah,
fool
me
once,
shame on you.
Shame on you. Fool me twice, won't
you
be
won't
fooled
be fooled
again.
Again. Well, hot clam special. I guess I should do my burn.
Yeah, please.
Since we're technically still on burn of the week. This is like the B plot, and the B plot sucks because nothing happens in it. But it, like, Weenie Rollins is having a party. That's literally the whole B plot.
Well, I mean, like, technically the B plot sets up the great.
No, it's true.
Tragedy.
This movie fucking rules. We haven't talked about it enough, but Liz dies in a motorbike accident, and she's more machine than man. And also, there's motorbikes in space now.
Right on Mars, and there's.
I mean, fuck.
Biker mice.
But meanwhile, Weenie Rollins is having a big party. I think it's a Sweet 16. You won't believe the number my mom pulled on me this morning, Enid said dejectedly. I was on my way out of the house when she told me I've got to rush home right after school and address invitations to my party. What for? Jessica asked incredulously. You've already invited half the school. I know, Enid said, but mom's insistent. She said a special occasion like my 16th birthday deserves special treatment. So she went out and got these incredibly fancy engraved invitations. Can you believe it? For your silly little party, Jessica wondered. For your dumb shit?
Man, Jess is such a prick to weenie.
Like, your mom did something special for your stupid fucking thing? What?
For you?
For you?
A fucking...
That does not track.
Like you? Eenie is still a little stung from when Jess, for no reason, broke her up with her boyfriend, Ronnie, by revealing that she was getting sexy charged letters from George.
Yeah.
And then Jess just has this, God, Jess is just such an unpleasant person. She's got this way of like making everything someone else's fault.
Yeah.
You know, or like completely absolving herself of blame in any situation. So she does that here. She's like, I want to hook up with Edie Weenie Rollins's cousin, Richard. Is that his name?
No, not even close.
I think it might be Richard. He's so sexy.
It's Brian.
Brian, yeah.
Yeah.
He's so sexy.
Yeah, he's like a perfect man.
He's really filled out.
He's really filled out. Yeah, he was sexy before, but now he's sexy, but like
ripped.
Thicker.
Like cut, yeah.
There's more of him.
And Jess really wants to have sex with him, but Eenie Weenie Rollins is still holding a grudge, so eventually Eenie Weenie Rollins has to be the bigger man and allows Jess to have sex with her cousin.
To have a big date.
Yeah, and I think there's, you know, this is something Marissa and I discussed with us is, are they doing it or are they not doing it? And I think the implication is maybe that they're doing it.
I don't know. It's tough to say. But Elizabeth does die. Tanner, we don't have a lot of time left.
Oh, Jesus.
But something happened at the end of this book. I read the book on Steve Jobs has a social network. Tim Cook has a social network. It's called iBooks. Yeah. Everyone's on it, and he's asked us a lot of times to try to help him. Like,
he wants us to like help him take, like, he needs our help.
Just
to
take it
to
the next
off.
Level. Yeah.
He's like, people aren't engaging. You guys are community.
No
managers.
One's saying anything. And so I got to the end of this book, and then lo and behold, I kept on scrolling past the copyright information, and then there's fucking Tim Cook.
Yeah.
Hey, sorry to bother you. it seems like you really like this book, it seems like you have a lot of opinions about it. You kept pausing to take notes and like highlight stuff. Like,
you're engaged. You're more engaged than most people with this text.
Want to rate this book and write a review?
Okay. Should we do that?
I was thinking maybe we could just write the book and write a little review.
It's been a while.
For Tim?
My review muscles are probably pretty atrophied at this point.
Yeah. Let's just go into it. I'm gonna hit 5 stars here. It's great. What do you think about
that? It was
that?
Good. It was compelling. It was dangerous. It was sexy.
Yeah, it was sexy.
Lots of hog talk. Probably control F the thing right now. There's probably no mention of the word hog anywhere in the book.
No, but we can put it in the review.
Yeah, and I would.
Okay. So I'm going to rate 5 stars. I'm going to hit write a review. And here we are. Oh.
Here we are.
Here we are. Ratings and reviews. Write a review. So far, there are 6 ratings. No reviews.
Wow.
And it's got an average of 4 stars. So we're gonna push that up. 5 stars. It's great. Title. For a review.
We're bringing the hogs. I want to get to the message that like Francine was too much of a coward to mention the hogs. So we're bringing our hogs.
What about Francine brought the heat? We'll bring the hogs.
That's good. I like that.
Okay, title. Francine brought...
I like the alliteration. Maybe we can make it rhyme more. Francine brought the pogs. We'll bring the hogs.
Only issue there is that she didn't... There's no actual pogs that she brought.
Is that right?
Francine clapped her clogs.
Okay. Fine. I'm going to rhyme dictionary.
Well, we don't want to get too hung up on the title. I mean, it is the main thing that's going to bring...
Let's just go with the pogs thing.
You want to say the pogs?
I think so.
Okay. Are you sure? Because it really is nonsensical. What about porgs?
Oh, how about this? You know, like, dropping a log is like pooping?
I don't love where this is going.
And sometimes people, like, poop when they're scared. It could be, like, starts strong with hogs, ends something with logs.
It seems like it really hung up on making this rhyme.
Yeah, I really wanted to...
Okay, can I go to rhyme dictionary?
We can do pogs.
No, the issue with pogs, and it's just like a minor criticism, but it has absolutely nothing to do with anything. It was kind of where I'm at.
Hogs, dropping logs. This book will leave you in this gripping, scintillating novel.
I can give you togs means clothes.
In what language?
In English, togs.
American English.
Strap on your togs. Does it absolutely have to rhyme?
You know I don't like it, right?
Yeah. No, I'm seeing that. Does it absolutely have to rhyme?
Doesn't absolutely have to. No. Is it my strong preference?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about near rhymes? Jobs. Doing this for jobs. Get ready for hogs.
Francine did a great job. Could have used more hogs.
Let's just go back to pogs.
Okay. So Francine brought the pogs. We'll bring the hogs.
Perfect.
Great.
That's okay. Great. I don't know why we messed with success.
I don't know why. We had it, and then we just kind of walked away from it. And I can't think of what my criticism was. It was something about like, oh, there's no pogs. It doesn't make any sense. Anyway. Okay, so here there's we are. No five pogs. Stars. It's great. Fans. Francine brought the pogs. We'll bring the hogs. Hey, what about this? Can I throw this out to you?
Yeah.
Hey, order me up a second helping of hot clam special.
Right. Perfect.
Because this one.
Oh wait, what are clams?
Can I finish the sentence?
Are they by any chance it? Cephalopods?
I don't think so, man.
What's a cephalopod?
It's like a octopus.
Fuck.
I'd love to finish the sentence.
Is there any part of the clam that could be pronounced as like pod? Are they pods in any way?
I mean, we can say pods.
Because I think that could be the thing, is like Francine brought the cephalopods.
Okay. Do we have any clam scientists? Let's just say they are. Yeah, let's just say they are.
They're bivalve mollusks.
Yeah. So I'm going to just say pods, and I'll put an apostrophe before the pods.
Cephalopods.
That seems good. Francine brought the pods.
Foot.
We'll bring the hog.
Pod means foot, and the clams don't have feet.
I'm worried about how long we spend on the title.
I know, but it's important. That's what gets people in, Jack. Yeah. That's the first thing they see, you know? It's important. It's like the headline. It's important.
Okay. Let's get it right. Let's get this right.
Are clams monopods? I maybe just made up monopod. Jack, I don't think this is...
Okay, I've got it. This is, okay. I've got it.
That doesn't sound like you have it.
I'm thinking something that's like clams instead of hot dogs. We're riding the real hogs.
Boy.
Can we...
It's tough, huh? It's tough. Let's just stick with the pog stuff.
I've changed it to pods, but I can go back to pogs.
I don't know. I don't have any good answers for you. And now I'm like second guessing.
Well, it's now Tim Cook has come in and auto-corrected it to dog.
Okay. You say so, Tim. He's like, no, dogs. Do dogs. Big on social media. All right.
Yeah. I mean, there are hot dogs in the book, so at least that's something.
No, there's not.
Yeah, there is, because Elizabeth thinks about ordering the hot dog, but she gets the hot dog.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now we're in the review. Hey, order me up a second helping of hot clam special, because this one was as heavy as a lead bullet.
Remind me what the title is.
Francine brought the dogs, we'll bring the hogs.
How about, like... Something about like passing on the dogs, like we don't need hot dogs.
Yeah, that's what I already said. That's what I already suggested, and you poo-pooed it.
Well, I guess I didn't understand.
Okay, we'll pass on the dogs. Right. We'll pass on the dogs.
Yeah.
But yes to the hogs.
Yeah, like.
Is that all right?
That's good.
We'll pass on the dogs, and that's for hot dogs, but yes to the hogs. Okay? Okay, first line. Hey. Order me up a second helping of that hot clam special, because this one was as heavy as a lead bullet.
Good.
Yes?
Sure.
Okay. Should we talk more about the hot clam special?
I think we should talk exclusively about the hot clam special.
The mysterious batter that made up the substance of this novel, scintillating novel,
yep.
Made me sick.
Yeah.
Frankly, but... Kept me coming back for more.
I'm on my third helping.
I'm on my third.
And I've never felt worse. That does pretty accurately describe
these books.
Wait, what book is this? Is this, six,
it's called
seven?
Number six, Dangerous
so
Love.
So I'm on my sixth helping.
Oh, I'm dangerously in love with this novel.
Oh, that's good. Will you change third to sixth, though?
I'm on my sixth helping, and I've never felt worse.
Sixth helping of these books.
Okay, that's great.
Scintillating novel.
Of these, I've already used scintillating. Shall we do it again?
I think we have to use it again.
Scintillating books?
Yeah.
And I've never felt worse. And I'm going to do a new paragraph, and I'm going to say, I'm dangerously in love with this book. I think I'm dangerously, I think I must be dangerously in love
with this book. Yeah.
Francine? Is it weird to address her? I think I must be dangerously in love with this book, comma, Francine.
Makes it sound like the book is called Francine and you're dangerously in love with Francine.
So then let's just lean into that and say, I think I must be dangerously in love with this book, comma, dangerous love. What about Francine?
That's Francine, colon.
I think I must be dangerously in love with this book.
Oh, I was going to say maybe we address the next paragraph to her.
Okay.
So like, I might be dangerously in love with this book, comma.
Comma, dangerous love.
Dangerous love. And that's in italics?
I put it in quotes.
Okay, what is this, APA?
They don't allow italics in these reviews. Tim doesn't have the technology yet.
What is this, Chicago style?
I think it's Chicago.
Francis.
Francis, colon.
And that's good. You want to neg them a little bit? You want to get their name wrong?
Yeah. Is that not her name? No, it's Francine. Is that my fault or yours? Should we just leave it?
Yeah. Okay. We made fault. No fault here.
Yeah.
Francis.
Mm-hmm.
Colon.
Mm-hmm.
This was your idea.
Yeah.
You want to do a dress or you have something to say to her?
Oh, okay. We got something to say. Okay. Okay. Let me think.
You almost want to ask a question, but you're not going to get a response, so it's not really a question.
Venue. In your mind, do we need to stick with the hot clam special, or can we?
I think so. I would. Why does Elizabeth eat the hot clam? No, we can't ask questions because we're not going to get a response.
Francis. Here's what we know about it. It's bitter. The Dohertys are giving it away for free at Diarrhea Burger.
Anyway, I don't really know if I have anything to say to Francine about this.
Once you have it, you can't stop ordering.
Did they say that?
But no, but that's what happens, right? Elizabeth has it and hates it and gets it like three more times.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think we've ever like fully figured out whether or not it's like a code.
Let's tell her something. Francis, colon, love is dangerous. Let's speak from authority here.
Okay. Yeah.
Love is dangerous. Clams can be dangerous.
Hogs are perhaps the most dangerous thing of them all.
Are perhaps the most dangerous animal on this planet.
And
throughout the
other
universe.
Other planets.
Except for
the biker mice from Mars. Much more dangerous.
Hogs are perhaps the most dangerous animal on this planet. Full stop. And while we're talking about planets, and we have to ask her a question here now.
Why no pogs?
No. .. Are there bikes in space?
Or like, what evidence do you have?
Yeah, how do you know
that there are motorbikes in space?
How do you know about the bikes from other worlds?
Show us the science, you know?
Trust the science.
Oh, let's put a bounty out. Let's do a bounty like the Flat Earthers, where we're like, we will pay anyone $100,000 if they can prove that there are motorbikes in space. Can we do a bounty?
Yeah, we'll offer anyone reading this review $100 if they can prove it. And then let's just say trust the science. Right? Because that makes us seem smart.
I think so, yeah.
I think that's pretty good. Anything else you want to say? P.S. We love this one.
P.S. We love this one.
Well, we should say Jack Shepherd and Tanner Greenring.
Jack Shepherd and Tanner Greenring, yeah.
Do you want to say a sign off like sincerely or yours or love ya?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Too unprofessional.
Too intimate.
Yours truly. Yours as always.
I just would say like maybe best or like
best. I don't like best. I always say all the best. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All the best, Jack Shepherd and Tanner Green Ring. P.S. We'd love this one. Then I'm just going to read it back to you.
Sure.
Okay. Tell me if anything stands out to you here as being weird or like that it might make us look bad.
You don't want to put it on her back foot, right?
No. No. Yeah. We don't want to be mean. You ready?
Yeah.
5 stars. It's great. We'll pass on the dogs, but yes to the hogs. I'm glad we spent time on that.
That's good.
Hey, order me up a second helping of that hot clam special because this one was as heavy as a lead bullet. The mysterious batter that made up the substance of this scintillating novel made me sick, frankly, but kept me coming back for more. I'm on my 6th helping of these scintillating books, and I've never felt worse.
Yeah.
I think I must be dangerously in love with this book. Dangerous love. Francis! Love is dangerous. Clams can be dangerous. Hogs are perhaps the most dangerous animal on this planet. And while we're talking about planets, how do you know about the space bikes? We'll offer anyone reading this review $100 if they can prove it.
Yeah.
Trust the science. God, that's
smart. I had originally said 100,000.
That's way too much. Yeah, I think that my edit is going to work. All the best, Jack Shepherd and Tanner Greenring. P.S. We love this one.
Yeah.
Good?
Good. Cut and print.
Cut and print.
This is for you, Tim.
All right, I've hit some.
Enjoy. Ooh-woo to you.
Ooh-woo to you. We're going to have to go now.
Oh, okay.
You okay with that?
Yeah, I don't really have any other good notes.
My only other note is that they're always nibbling on each other's ears in these novels.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Like, that's what food
that how
is.
You did it back in the 80s?
I think that's what that's how they sustain themselves. It's just like take a little, nibbling. Just a little nip out of someone's ear. So we'll keep an eye out for the ear.
That seems
nibbling.
Aggressive. Like that seems like a pretty like advanced move for like, especially for like a public space, you know, which is where they're always doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just feels like that's like one step away from like really boning down.
You think that you go straight from chomping on an earlobe to
I don't
want to knock
say
in the boots.
I go straight to, but that seems pretty like, I just like, I don't know. Like, I imagine if someone was nibbling on my earlobe, I would probably be pretty like.
You would like
up,
that,
you know?
Okay, good. Okay,
don't you think?
Yeah,
one would be porked up at that.
I'd be porked up, if someone took a to chomp out of my fucking earlobe.
Because pleasure is pain. Pain is pleasure.
Yeah. No. Exactly. Yeah. Something to think about. I'd like to thank you, Tanner, so very much for bearing with me this week.
Hey, you're welcome.
I'd like to thank the sweeties for bearing with us. We love you and we kiss you. And thanks for still listening to our podcast. Don't say that enough.
Yeah.
Hey, check out our Patreon. We have a other show and it's how we support our families and it's good. And we
so
put
much
a lot
good
of
stuff
work
happening
into
over
it.
There. You can hear about Jack's rat problems. You can hear about my eye trauma.
Yeah.
We sing the descriptions. Yeah. It's really where we let loose and have fun.
It's tons of fun.
And we talk about all of our medical issues as we get older and our eyes start to deteriorate and we need cornea surgery.
Yeah, the rats
That's
start
where those
to
conversations
encroach.
Are happening. Yeah.
And we really let loose and you see a different side of us.
Yeah.
You must. It's patreon.com/BSCC podcast. And it's
I know what you're thinking. Like, they talk pretty leisurely about their eye trauma and their rat problems and they're really letting loose and letting themselves like – their real light shine.
Yeah.
They must be pretty drunk on that one, no?
No.
No. Sober as a ghost.
Sober as a ghost.
We record them in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah. While our kids are napping.
It's an entirely different experience.
Yeah. You must listen. Patreon.com/BSCC podcast. Buy our merch. bit.ly/BSCC merch. And join our Facebook group. Everyone's having a nice time. And everyone's nice and good. And we like them very much.
Yep.
And it's good to be in there. And join the discussion. It's the Facebook group. Finally, is there something else? Rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts, I think. Please do that. And tell a friend.
Buy the merch.
We already said that.
All that remains is for me to say that this week we did read a novel. That novel indeed was called Sweet Valley High Number 6, Dangerous Love. And Liz is more machine than man now. And
she's
not going to be in these anymore.
Well, she might, but she might be like RoboCop, you know, where she's like, she doesn't quite understand like how to come to terms with her like remaining human emotions and like her programming. And it's going to be tough.
It's going to be a lot.
It's going to be tough.
Looking forward to that. Next week, we're reading a little novel. It's called Sweet Valley High Number 7.
Maybe she won't even realize that she is an android. You know, maybe we're talking about some Blade Runner shit.
That's going to be cool. Yeah.
Ooh, this is going to be a challenging book.
This is going to be intense. The novel is called Dear Sister. Be sure to tune in for that.
Yes.
All that remains is for me to say that this week my name has been Jack Alexander Shepard.
I'm Tanner.
A great big Sweet Valley. Bye.
Bye.
We're big girls. We can take care of ourselves.
That's good. Who came up with that one?
It was you.
Nice.
We're the Sweet Valley Boys. If you love Sweet Valley, better make some noise. It's the Sweet, Sweet Valley Life. Sweet Valley Jack and Tannery Joy. And the Sweet Analysis of the Sweet Valley Books will never annoy you. Valley boys, if you love Sweet Valley, better make some noise. Now your life is sweet and it's full of joy. Cause you're in Sweet Valley with the Sweet, Sweet Valley Boys.
Hey, by the way, I'm sorry about England.
Shut up. I don't want to talk about it. No,
what
you're
a
not.
Shot in the pills
That feels insincere, and so I don't want to engage with you on that.
Oh, no, it's not. It's literally not insincere because I have no stakes in this game at all, and I don't care who wins or loses. But I know that you, an Englishman, wanted England to win, so I genuinely feel sad for you.
Yeah, and I was sad.
That they didn't win.
And me, if you...
I'm not piling on like the rest of the internet. I don't give a shit.
If you knew me better, you would know that I, an Englishman, have very effectively pushed my feelings about the loss down where all the other bad feelings go.
Yeah.
And so it's not helpful. It's like a trash compactor that's overfilled.
And then I'm like adding more on top of it.
Yeah.
You're like, I have no place to put this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So stiff upper lip, everybody, and let's record our big podcast.
Let's record our big podcast.
Yeah.